And at noon on KSFR, now looks at today's top local news headlines for this Wednesday, June 26th. Equality New Mexico and Progress Now New Mexico hosted a viewing party in Albuquerque earlier today as supporters of marriage equality awaited the U.S. Supreme Court's highly anticipated ruling on two cases. When they learned of the court's decision to strike down the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, along with sending California's Prop 8 same-sex marriage ban back to the jurisdiction of the court that overturned it, they erupted in applause. And coming up a bit later here at noon, we'll be speaking to the ACLU of New Mexico to explore what the court's decision will mean for same-sex marriage across the nation and here in our state. The Horoso fire northeast of Santa Fe has grown to 10,400 acres. Containment is at 0% as the fire covers extremely rugged terrain not accessible by ground crews. The fire is said to be very hot on its south side and progressing toward the east on the west side of the Pecos River. The entire Pecos Wilderness area is now closed to the public. Meanwhile, the Santa Fe National Forest has ordered a wildland fire management team to assume command of Horoso firefighting operations as of tomorrow. Santa Fe City Council plans a public hearing tonight on that proposal to ban within city limits the transfer, possession, or sale of large-capacity ammunition feeding devices that hold more than 10 rounds. Feeding devices that can carry up to 100 rounds of ammunition are currently legal on the streets of Santa Fe. Any feeding device that holds over 10 rounds that was purchased before the ban takes effect will be grandfathered in. Individuals who are retired from service with law enforcement agencies and are in good standing will be exempt from the ban. KSFR will carry tonight's City Council meeting live, beginning at 7 p.m. Also at tonight's meeting, the governing body will discuss a free parking provision for patrons of the rail yard's proposed movie complex. And up for review is the city's contract with an out-of-state insurance underwriter, offering Santa Feans limited liability in the event of water or sewer line repairs on private property. New Mexico Senator Tom Udall is voicing strong support of President Obama's call for the U.S. to aggressively address global warming. Udall says the time for action is now and noted that temperatures here in New Mexico have been rising 50% faster than the global average in recent decades. The senator took to the floor to further instruct his colleagues on the climate change challenges facing our state.
What we see happening is New Mexico going 300 miles to the south if you maintain business as usual and you get down the road about 75 years. And if you put New Mexico 300 miles to the south, you're down in the middle of the Chihuahuan Desert. It completely changes the landscape of New Mexico. Your forests are not going to hold snowpack anymore. Your temperatures are going to be much higher. Everything is going to change pretty dramatically.
The Legal Tender restaurant in Lamy will be reopening tomorrow, nearly a month after a dispute with the Lamy Museum shut it down. The latest move follows a judge's ruling issued just last week. Operators of the restaurant had been at odds over the arrangement to run the restaurant in the building that houses the Lamy History and Railroad Museum. The judge has ordered a full trial in the matter, but no date has been set as of yet. A number of new state laws take effect July 1st, including the split-off of the state's insurance division from the Public Regulation Commission. Today, state officials will be naming the person who will head the agency. A number of people have applied for the post, including the current insurance superintendent, John Franchini. The drought-depleted water flow in the Rio Grande, coursing through central New Mexico, is about to enter what the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation terms unknown territory. Today's Albuquerque Journal reports that the river will begin drying up in the Duke City's Bosque by next week, as water levels drop to their lowest since the 1980s. Albuquerque's water utility plans now to draw water exclusively from deep wells as of July 1st. Meanwhile, the National Weather Service office says Albuquerque precipitation totals for the past 12 months are the lowest since record-keeping began in the late 1800s. AAA New Mexico forecasts that 3.1 million residents of the 8-state mountain region will travel 50 miles or more from home during the upcoming Independence Day holiday weekend. The travel volume this 4th of July weekend will be slightly down, less than 1% decrease in travel volume compared to last year. That, says the Auto Club, is due only to the fact that with the 4th falling on a Thursday this year, the entire holiday weekend is a day shorter than 2012. And weather for Santa Fe? Sunny, dry, and hot both today and Thursday. Highs from the low to mid-90s. A very slight chance for precipitation arrives Friday. Meanwhile, current temperature in Santa Fe now stands at 86 degrees. At noon, now segues to today's feature stories. The U.S. Supreme Court today handed down two highly anticipated rulings on marriage equality. One dealt with the federal DOMA, or Defense of Marriage Act, which barred same-sex spouses all federal benefits accorded to heterosexual couples. The other concerned California's Prop 8, a voter-approved referendum which barred the Golden State from recognizing same-sex marriage. The morning's decisions were closely watched by the New Mexico ACLU. Stephen Robert Allen is their policy director and joins us now by phone. Steve, give us your perspective on today's events.
Well, you know, it's a huge historic victory in both cases. In the first case, United States versus Windsor, the court decided to strike down Section 3 of the Defense of Marriage Act on equal protection grounds. What that means is that the court decided that it was discriminatory for our federal government to treat legally married gay and lesbian couples differently than any other couples. In that first case. In the second case, Hollingsworth versus Perry, the court said that basically they couldn't decide on the case because the proponents of Proposition 8, which banned marriage for same-sex couples in California, the proponents, the supporters of that proposition, didn't have standing to bring the case. That is essentially a very good result, because what it means is that the lower court decision at the federal court, where Proposition 8 was declared unconstitutional, is going to be upheld, and very shortly people, gay and lesbian couples in California, should be able to get married again.
Can you speculate as to the ramifications of today's rulings for same-sex couples?
Well, you know, the benefit situation is a somewhat complicated one, because there's approximately 1,100 benefits that are associated with getting married. A lot of those are, you know, still it's to be worked out, because some of them are based on where you got married. Some of them are based on where you reside. For immigration, for example, the couples that are legally married, say, in New York, and that live here in New Mexico, go through the process of getting a green card for the spouse who's a foreign national, and that's wonderful news. But because the situation is somewhat fuzzy, it makes it more important than ever that we achieve the freedom to marry for same-sex couples right here in New Mexico. And the ACLU and its allies filed a lawsuit last March to accomplish just that. And it needs to happen, so that that will take away a lot of the ambiguity around this.
What is the status of that suit?
Well, it was filed in March, and, you know, we're hoping to expedite it as quickly as possible. There's a lot of impatience to see that happen as quickly as possible. Filed a suit saying that our state constitution already protects the freedom to marry for same-sex couples, and we feel that it does. We feel that we have a very strong argument. We have some amazing plaintiffs lined up, and we believe that we will be able to secure victory on that here in New Mexico. And because of the news we had today from the U.S. Supreme Court, that's more important than ever, because that means that all gay and lesbian New Mexicans that want to choose to get married will have the these benefits available to them where they wouldn't otherwise.
So while today's decisions will cheer and encourage same-sex marriage supporters, does it obviate the need for New Mexico to directly address the matter?
No, we need to secure the freedom to marry for couples here in New Mexico. The decisions today didn't create a constitutional right to get married at the federal level. It just said that states who choose to offer their citizens that right can do so. The country is moving, and the courts are moving in this direction. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's really about changing the hearts and minds of all citizens in this country so that we can create a more accepting place for loving, committed individuals and couples that want to get married.
And any final thoughts?
I would just want to reiterate that this is truly a historic victory. It's an amazing day for our country, and I just think that we need to bring this right to New Mexico, and our courts need to decide on this because it's crucial that individuals here in New Mexico have this right, just like the folks in other states that have this right.
Steve Allen, Policy Director for ACLU New Mexico. Many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR, which will continue in just a moment.
Well, it doesn't go nowhere, it just stays out of the road.
Do you own a car you're no longer using? KSFR is pleased to let you know you can now donate an unwanted vehicle to us, whether or not it's running, and receive a tax receipt. We'll do all the work and you'll get some extra space in the garage. To learn more about our vehicle donation program, call us at 428-1527 or visit the website ksfr.org. That's 428-1527.
This is Martha Burke, host of Equal Time. Join me weekly for 2 minutes of Equal Time commentary every Saturday during the Bob Edwards Show. We'll explore politics, public affairs, and what's new in the news. Be with us, 2 minutes of Equal Time, right before 8 a.m. every Saturday during the Bob Edwards Show. Don't miss it.
It's a world of diversity on KSFR.
19 minutes past the hour, as At Noon on KSFR continues. The Santa Fe Police Department regularly issues a most wanted list for our community. Selena Westervelt is with the department and joins us now. Selena, it appears that the people named on the most wanted list all have committed property crimes. Do we have that right?
Yeah, we're doing this specifically for property crimes because Santa Fe does have the decreasing problem, but problem with property crimes. So what we do is once a month we go through our warrants list. We get a list from the court of people who have outstanding warrants. We check to see which of those warrants then are related to property crimes, and from there whittle it down to the top 10 who have repeat property crime offenses on their names. So these warrants might not necessarily be for burglary or robbery. They're probably for something like a traffic ticket. But if it's a traffic ticket that we know this person is a repeat offender when it comes to property crimes and we've dealt with them or arrested them multiple times, we put them on our top 10 list just so the community can be aware of their face, their name, and kind of who they are. So that way if they see them roaming around their neighborhood, they know it's probably somebody who shouldn't be there.
How long has the department been publishing this list?
I've been with the department about 3 months, and we've tried to do it once a month since then. So this is something we're going to start regularly. We'll post it on our Facebook page, on our Twitter feed, send it out via email. We send it to all of the neighborhood watches so they can be aware and informed of who we're looking for. And then we'll also put it now up on our website.
If, say, someone sees a person they know on the list, what should they do?
Never go and confront who's on the most wanted list. You don't want to confront any criminal. You want to call police and have them be the ones who confront these individuals. You never know what they're liable to do. You never know if they're armed. A lot of time property crime offenses are related to drugs, so you don't know what state that person is in. Not always, but just sometimes. In that one time, you take perhaps something to happen. So call police immediately. You can call our dispatch number, which is 428-3710. That's the non-emergency line, and we'll send somebody out there as soon as possible. And you can always feel free to call 911. I think people get afraid to call 911 if they're not dying. If it's an emergency and you see this person breaking into somebody's house, that's an emergency. So you feel free to call that emergency line.
Have there been any arrests made of the most wanted thus far?
May's most wanted list, we had two individuals that were arrested because somebody had seen their pictures. And I think one person turned themselves in, which we love, and then another person, we had gotten an anonymous tip on that person. We were able to apprehend them. You know, sometimes they are just traffic tickets. If a person sees themselves on that most wanted list, the easiest thing is to come forward, come to police, get it cleared up, and go on your merry way.
Will people who report someone on the list to the department, will they remain anonymous?
People that call in can remain anonymous. So you want to call in and you notice a face, don't feel like you have to witness and give your name and say everything about yourself. You can remain anonymous, just like you would a Crime Stoppers tip or any other tip.
What other advice do you have for our listeners?
We've seen those burglaries go down, but the summer months are heating up, and so we just need everybody to be extra careful. That includes checking this most wanted list, locking your windows and doors, and just keeping valuables out of sight so that way you're not an easy target for these individuals.
Selena Westervelt with the Santa Fe Police Department, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR. As we approach the 4th of July holiday, more and more New Mexicans will be driving on road trips. The Independence Day holiday is a particularly dangerous time to be on the road. KSFR news reporter Charles Maynard files this report.
While most people assume that the Memorial Day holiday is the most dangerous time to be on the road, in fact, more accidents and fatalities occur on the 4th of July. It's a particularly dangerous time for teenage drivers. The Allstate Foundation has released some useful information for teen drivers and their parents, along with a study on distracted driving. Carolyn Baca is with Allstate in New Mexico.
They've done a lot of research, and then they've also gotten research from other sources. And the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety has July 4th as the deadliest day on the road for Americans now. It's a leading cause of death for ages 1 through 34 years of age, but the teens are four times more likely to get in an accident. And so there's a lot of research on there, especially for parents and for teens, even before they start driving, just some tips on how it'll be safer for the teens. I went through all of the Allstate Foundation, and it has just great information I wish I would have had when my teenagers were driving.
Not surprisingly, texting while driving is a particularly bad idea.
From the statistics that the Allstate Foundation have, it says that teens still admit to texting. 39% of teen drivers admit to texting behind the wheel. So the ones that don't admit, you wonder, what percentage that is.
Teens watch their parents' behavior for clues on how they should act.
54% of teens reported seeing their parents using a phone while driving. So that's kind of that role model thing that I think, too. It's like, how are we going to stop this? I think a lot of people will agree. I know Santa Fe, you're not allowed to even use your phone, while you're driving. More and more towns are doing that. I know Bosque Farms has that, where you can't use your cell phone.
Interestingly, only 32% of parents admit to making and answering phone calls while driving. The study includes some specific suggestions on how parents should talk to their teens about the topic of distracted driving in general.
On that Allstate Foundation site, it has a lot of things that you can go over with your teens. It's not only the texting, even though the texting is a really big thing right now. There's music, food, other distractions, number of passengers in the car. And even on the Allstate Foundation site, they go into parents interested about the New Mexico laws in driving, why they have the graduated driving license now, and there's some really interesting statistics about that, because once they do get their provisional driver, they can only have, like two people in the car, and one has to be related to them. And so there's restrictions for a year, which I think is great myself, just the more we can do to make the facts available for parents and teenage drivers.
For more information, go to the Foundation's website.
The website address is www.allstatefoundation.org, And then I think that you could go to teen driving from there.
Carolyn Baca with Allstate.
What was interesting to me, because I think we all know this if you're a parent, is what a role model you are and just the things parents can do with their teens just to make them a safe driver.
For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
Support for programming on KSFR is underwritten in part by LAM, Los Alamos County Airport, a tax-exempt organization now offering 3 flights a day to and from Albuquerque International, coordinated with the most popular daily flights. Start your journey at LAM. More information at flylosalamos.com.
26 minutes past the hour as At Noon on KSFR continues. Bioponics, that's the term used to describe a new method for growing plants. People who live in Santa Fe will have a unique opportunity to learn about the process and how to run a bioponics business, thanks to a special program being offered at Santa Fe Community College. Randy Grissom, currently a dean at the school and soon to be the vice president of academic affairs at the college, joins us now. All right, Randy, what is bioponics?
Well, bioponics is a hybrid of hydroponic growing in greenhouses. So you use water instead of planting, growing in soil. But bioponics is where we're going to integrate the growing of vegetables and herbs along with fish. And so the nutrients of the fish also become a source of feed for the plants and herbs that will be growing in the system. So we're going to be growing both vegetables, herbs, and fish.
So the water from a fish tank is used for growing the plants?
Yes, so it's recycled. It sort of goes around, so the nutrients share amongst. It's like a closed-loop system, pretty much.
As we are in a severe drought at the moment, we'd imagine it's a good idea to employ a technique like this, yes?
Well, you're going to use the numbers I've seen were about a tenth the water you would for growing in a traditional earth area. Obviously, there's a little more water to start off with because you're filling your system up. But you can grow year-round. It's done in a greenhouse, so you can maintain the temperature. You can do production year-round, so you don't have to wait for the seasons to come along.
Is this a costly method to use?
After the startup cost, it should be less expensive because you're using natural fertilizers with the fish, so you're not having to pay extra for chemical fertilizers or even organic fertilizers. And so you're pretty much self-sufficient once you get started. Obviously, you have to have your feedstock. You can harvest your own seeds. If you're growing fish, you can hopefully even let them reproduce. And so you have your starter set, and then it grows from there.
Who do you expect to sign up for the program?
The program is open to anybody who's interested. Right now, we're doing it as a cohort-based program, so that means you have to enroll into the complete set of classes, which is basically 23 credit hours in the certificate. There is also an associate's degree. It's an intensive 16-week program, so you finish the whole program in one 16-week semester. And although it's open to anybody, our target market right now is veterans. We've got a lot of returning veterans, and this is going to be an opportunity for them to get trained, and our partner, the Bioponics Institute, is helping us with not only managing and setting up the greenhouse, but also with placement and business startup opportunities. So veterans and others will have a chance to even potentially set up a franchise operation and run their own greenhouse and sell their own vegetables or be affiliated with a nursing home or assisted care facility or even a school.
And what is the tuition for the bioponics course?
Well, it's going to be roughly about $4,400 for a New Mexico resident. It depends upon your residency status for tuition. The in-district gets a little cheaper rate. An in-state person is going to be about $4,400. If you're out of state, it probably is going to total about $5,400, including all fees. That covers all your books, all your tuition, all your course fees and everything. And then veterans are getting a $500 discount.
How can people get more information and register?
What they should do is they can contact Helen Bransford, who's our lead admin for the Department of Trades and Technology. She can be reached here in Santa Fe at 428-1388. Once again, 428-1388. Because everybody has to sign up for the whole cohort of classes, Helen will be doing all the registrations for us. A person can contact Helen. We can provide more information. And if they want to get on the list, we can enroll them for the course. All registrations for fall semester need to be in, and payment needs to be either made or arranged for by the end of July. Then we will be taking additional enrollments after July if there's room in the classes.
And anything else you'd like our listeners to know?
We're just really excited about this. This is really our first step into what we hope will be a full-fledged sustainable agriculture program at the college, and we had this opportunity through a partner who's actually providing the greenhouse to get started quick.
Randy Grissom with Santa Fe Community College, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR.
Programming on KSFR is underwritten in part by the Santa Fe Farmers Market, providing fresh, locally grown food to the community. The Santa Fe Farmers Market is now open every Saturday and Tuesday from 7 to 1 in the rail yard. On Sundays from 10 to 4, the market hosts the Rail Yard Artisans Market, featuring fine arts and crafts, food, music, and more. To learn more, visit SantaFeFarmersMarket.com.
12:31 here at KSFR, and the bottom of the hour is a particularly good time to spend our customary 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
I was checking out at Whole Foods when my friend came up and said hello. I hadn't seen him for several months. He and I were in the Lone Rangers, so we exchanged the secret Tonto handshake, slid our wrists, put our wrists together, and became blood brothers. Unfortunately, my friend Todd expired from blood loss. No, he didn't. That was just a lie. While talking with him, I wasn't paying attention to the screen on the debit card machine and kept canceling the transaction. I'm sure the cashier thought, oh yeah, here's another 17th century person trying to navigate the basics of a 21st century world. When I took off my dark glasses, I could see the screen just fine. The screen on the card machine said, wait for the cashier, so I asked the very pretty female cashier, where do you want me to wait? She looked at me quizzically until I showed her the screen. She smiled, and I said, no, really, where do you want me to wait? She didn't reply. Todd asked if I was going to talk about all this. I said, maybe, maybe not. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And with that, we will conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. Dan Garrity with you here at the news desk. Many thanks to my contributing colleague today, Charles Maynard. And we'll be back with more news of and for New Mexico for you tomorrow. And as always, we hope you join us.